And now, if you'll turn in your Bibles to the book of Isaiah and chapter 28. While you're finding your place, may I remind you again to get the word out. The special and continuing series of messages on the book of the Revelation. This is history. This is current events. This is future. Let's get the word out. Tonight at 7 o'clock, I hope that you'll be in your place. You'll be glad to know that our former Sunday school superintendent, Brother Hansel, and his family will be visiting with us tonight. I'll give you a moment to renew some old times with them. And the message on the Revelation is most important. I hope that you'll be here. Now, Isaiah chapter 28. My text is in verse 16. One verse, Isaiah 28. And verse 16, after we pause in a moment of prayer. Our Father, we ask Thee again that the Holy Spirit would arrest every heart and bring into subjection every thought of every person here. And may Christ be honored in our message and in the invitation and in all things. Give us the holy boldness to proclaim Thy word and the anointing of Thy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Isaiah chapter 28 and verse 16. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. He that believeth, the rendering in the Hebrew is this: he that believeth shall not be confounded. The Apostle Peter, in his first epistle, chapter 2, and beginning at verse 6, quotes from this passage in Isaiah. We are in our Sunday school in a study of the book of Isaiah. We had chapters 11 and 12 today. But chapter 28 and verse 16 is an important text. I like to think of verse 16 as the hub of all the wheel of messianic prophecy. Or in perhaps a little simpler language, the hub of all the prophecy that refers to the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember that Isaiah was a prophet of the Assyrian period from 1100 to 626 B.C. That Isaiah was born 760 years before Christ, and that he was called into the prophetic ministry when he was 20 years old at 740 B.C., or 740 years before the birth of Christ. And yet, we have no place in all the Bible, we have no place a clearer picture of Christ than that which we find in Isaiah. Behold, oh, that's an interesting word. You ought to go through the Bible and mark every time God says, behold. Because when God says, behold, He's going to show you something. Behold the Lord. Look at it again. Behold, thus saith the Lord God, I will lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, the greatest mason, the greatest builder, the greatest architect is God. He designed and built this great world system. Who is it, I ask you, that keeps the earth on its orbit and its path around the sun? Who is it that keeps all the world of nature from disintegrating? Who is it that brings the sun out every morning and the moon out every night? It is none other than God. And in cooperation with his Son, Paul says that all things in Colossians chapter 1, Paul says that all things are held together by him. Now let me tell you what that means. If for one second God were to take his hand off your physical body, the atoms in your body would fly apart. This building would fly apart if God took his hand off of it one second. Mr. God is holding you together this morning. You might find yourself in the depths of despondency. You might find yourself on the bottom rung of the ladder. But let me help you. God is holding you together. And he's holding all things together by the word of his power. Behold, I lay in Zion a stone, a sure stone, a precious stone, a tried stone, a foundation stone. God is the builder. Jesus Christ is the material. Look at it. The mason is God. The material is Christ. And what material he is. Isaiah said that God said he would lay in Zion a tried stone. I'm glad to report to you this morning that I have tried Jesus and he works. I know it by living proof. I know you can try him, and he can and will give you the peace in your heart that you desire today. You are not here by accident. You are here because God has brought you here to hear this message. He is a precious stone. Oh, I wish I could tell you this morning how precious he is. But I don't have the words. You know I don't. I cannot find the expression. I cannot find the language, the words, the syllables to bring them all together that will tell you how precious he is. Suffice it to say, he's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star, the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. A tried stone, a proven stone, a sure stone, a precious stone. And what does all this mean? Behold, I lay in Zion a stone. What does that mean? Well, the word stone is used many times in the scripture. And many times where the word stone or rock, either one of them is used, it often refers to Jesus. I want to share with you just three of those cases. First, behold, I lay in Zion a stone. That stone was Israel's stone of salvation. In the book of Exodus, in chapter 17, in verse 6, there is a tremendous truth. Let me help you. Let me share some of the background of it with you. Israel had just come out of Egypt. 40 years they were to wander in the wilderness. They had not long been out of Egypt and had not long begun that 40-year trek of wilderness wanderings until they came to the point where there was no water. You and I would dare say, unless it has been under some very extreme condition, you and I do not know the meaning of the lack of water. Israel had reached a place in a barren land where there was no water. And God, and it's just like God to meet every need, isn't it? Is your need water this morning? God can meet it. Is your need meat today? God can meet that need. Is your need for a Savior today? God can meet that need. Is your need for a steadfast hope? God can meet that need. Israel needed water to live for themselves and for their little ones. And they murmured and complained. You suppose they might have been Baptists. They murmured and they complained against God. And Moses said, God, what shall I do? I'm glad we have to come to the place when we say to God, what shall I do? And God said, Moses, go to the rock in Horeb, and I will meet you there. I will stand before you. Oh, let me tell you this morning, mister, God will meet you there. God will meet you at the end of your own way. And God will bring you joy and peace through the Lord Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter what your past, or what your present, or what you're learning, or how much you're unlearning, He will meet you there. God said to Moses, I will stand before you. Let me tell you this morning, God is standing before us. And if God be for us, who can be against us? And Moses, take your rod that you smote the river and smite the rock, and there shall come forth water for you and your people. And Moses did exactly that. And the Bible tells us that water gushed forth from the rock. And that is a beautiful picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, who was smitten on Calvary's cross for our sins and came forth gushing a fountain of which if you drink, you will never thirst again. Jesus said in John 7, if any man thirst, mister, that means you today, if any man thirst, let him come to me and drink, and out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. You know the story of the woman at the well in Samaria. And Jesus sat there on the curb, and when she came to draw, Jesus said, give me a drink. And she looked rather astonished at him and said, sir, I am a Samaritan. You are a Jew. You know the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Why do you ask me for a drink? And Jesus said, lady, woman, if thou knewest the gift of God and who it is who asked you for a drink, you would have asked him for a drink, and that drink would have sprung up in you a well of everlasting life. And she said, but sir, have you anything to draw? I don't see a bucket. Have you anything to draw? This well is deep. This is the well that Jacob drank from. Last Christmas we drank from that same well, the same water. The same well. Could I just add a word here? When I was 11 years old, I drank from another well too. I just want to throw that in. The well of eternal life. And I've been saved ever since. Now that's just beside the point, but let me tell you this now. Jesus said to her, if you will drink of this water, Jacob's well, you'll thirst again. Well, you know I was thirsty before I got out of that place. I was thirsty again in Jacob's well. But if you drink of the water that I give you, you'll never thirst again. I'm glad I'm drinking from a fountain that never runs dry. Oh, I'm glad I'm feasting on the manna that God has given us from his own bountiful store. Who said that rock was Christ? Paul did. In 1 Corinthians 10:4, they did all drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that rock. Hold on tight now on this one. And Paul said, and that rock was Christ. Isn't that beautiful? And that rock was Christ. He is the stone of Israel's salvation. Secondly, he is the stone of the church's foundation. Oh, we have a solid foundation this morning. Jesus said in Matthew 16, he said to Peter, you know, I kind of like Peter. He had a temper. He even swore once in a while. But he was a good man. And he knew what it was to be close to Jesus. You know, sometimes we get a little bit aggravated and we get to doing some things we ought not to do. But then we find what Peter found. We found grace in Jesus. And Jesus said to Peter, thou art Peter, and the Greek word is Petros. And upon this rock, and the Greek word is Petra, two different words. And upon this rock, Petra, the large rock, the big stone, if you please, the same stone that God said, I will lay in Zion, the same stone, a type of which Moses smote with a rod, and there came forth water, Israel's salvation, if you please. And upon this rock I will build my church. And Worth Baptist Church today is a part of what Jesus began almost 2,000 years ago. Amen. I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I'm going to build a sermon one of these days on we shall overcome. Now I know that's sort of a, you know, quotes. But we shall overcome because we are built upon a solid rock. The foundation of the church is Jesus. What a foundation stone. Let war and famine and hard times and communism and all other isms come. Somebody said, but oh, I'm afraid the church is going down. Brother, the church is going up. Amen. And we are that close to it right now, and I'll show it to you in this special series of sermons on the Revelation. He's the foundation of the church. You know, I used to go down to Grandma's house. And she didn't have any electricity. And she didn't have hot and cold running water. It was cold, but it wasn't running anywhere. And she didn't have any of the conveniences of our modern day time. But she had something in her heart. And you know, she was an old-fashioned Methodist. But she was the shouting kind of Methodist. She had a fire in her soul. And she used to I used to hear a humming that old tune. The Lord's our rock in a weary land, a shelter in the time of storm. Well, I didn't know all about it then, but I do know something about it now. I know the Lord's our rock. I know he's a shelter in the time of storm. Rock of ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy wounded side which flowed be of sin a double cure, and save from wrath and make me pure. He's the rock of the church's foundation. And I must hurry. In the third place, he is the rock of the Gentiles' destruction. Now, I wish I had a long time, but I'm going to give it to you in capsule. You get everything else in capsule. So I'm going to give you this in capsule form. The second chapter of the book of Daniel. The second chapter of the book of Daniel in capsule form. Here it is. In the second year of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, that would be about 604 B.C., Nebuchadnezzar dreamed a dream, and it bothered him because he could not remember what the dream was. Did you ever have an experience like that? And you would have given 10,000 worlds if somebody just could come and tell you what that dream was. That was Nebuchadnezzar. And the Bible says, you read all of this in extended form in Daniel 2, that he could not sleep because he couldn't remember his dream. So he called all the wise men of Babylon, the soothsayers, the palm readers, if you please, the Chaldeans, the men of wisdom, the astrologers, and all the rest. And he said to them, tell me, what is my dream? And tell me, what is the interpretation thereof? And they said, O king, you tell us the dream, and we'll tell you the interpretation. And the king said, you are stalling for time. Well, he didn't say it in those exact words, but that's what he meant. You are stalling for time. You tell me that dream and the interpretation, or off comes your head and your homes will be plowed up for dunghill. And they said, O king, no ruler, no king, no monarch has ever asked anybody to do a thing like this. It is a rare thing for you to demand of us the dream. If you tell us the dream, we'll tell you the interpretation. They said, nobody can tell the dream except the gods, and they don't dwell in bodies of flesh. And the king says to Arioch, his assistant, you go out and kill all the wise men of Babylon. Now Daniel was a captive down there. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were captives down there. And they came to Daniel and said, Daniel, the king has issued a decree that all the wise men be put to death. Are you ready to die? Well, that's a good question, isn't it? Are you ready to die? You're going to die. It's appointed unto men once to die. And Daniel said, what's your hurry? Well, he said, the king, give us a little while and we'll have a prayer meeting and we'll tell the king what his dream is. That's what Daniel 2 says. So Daniel went home, and there they were, Hananiah, Mishael, and there they were together, and they had a prayer meeting, Daniel and his three friends in captivity. Did they pray all night? No, they didn't pray all night. They just prayed a little while, and Daniel went to sleep and had a dream. And in a vision, God told him what that dream of Nebuchadnezzar was. So what did they do then? The first thing they did, they had a testimony meeting. And they all praised God for giving them the dream. And Daniel said to Arioch, take me to the king. Take me to your leader, if you please, and I'll tell him So they ushered Daniel in before the king. I thought this was going to be capsule, but I can't put all of that in a capsule. They ushered him into the king, and they said, O king, Daniel said, you're wise men, you're astrologers, you're Chaldeans, you're soothsayers, you're palm readers, you're foot ticklers. They cannot read. They cannot interpret this dream. But there is a God in heaven, and he has told me the dream. Oh, this is a message by itself. I don't know how I got it in here. He has given me the dream. Here it is, Daniel. Here it is, Nebuchadnezzar. You had a dream, and you dreamed there was a large image whose head was fine gold, whose arms were silver and breasts were silver, whose belly and thighs were brass, whose legs were iron, whose toes were iron mixed with clay. And Nebuchadnezzar said, that's exactly right. I remember that. Now tell me the interpretation. And Daniel said, Nebuchadnezzar, God has given you a great kingdom. You have domain all the way from the British Isles to Central Africa. 126 provinces under you, man and beast. You are the head of gold. And after you, you see, he's telling of Nebuchadnezzar's demise. After you, and brother, there's going to be somebody after you too, and me. After you, there shall rise an inferior kingdom of silver. The head of gold is Babylon, the first great worldwide empire. The arms of silver and breast of silver is the Medo-Persian Empire. Cyrus the Persian and Darius the Mede. The Medo-Persian Empire comes after you in 536 B.C. The Medes and Persians turned the course of the Euphrates River and went under the walls of Babylon. And the arms and the breast of silver are now in control in the second great world empire, the Medo-Persian Empire. And after that, yet a third, and it shall be of brass. That was the Greek Empire under Alexander the Great. For Alexander the Great, in 330, conquered the whole world. And the Medes and Persians fell to the Greeks. And those legs of iron that you saw, what are they? The fourth great world empire, the Roman Empire, that was divided, you remember, into the east and west. Two legs, two sides, two divisions. And the Roman Empire was the last great world empire. There hasn't been one since Rome fell in 476 A.D. But the toes of iron and clay, iron is strong, clay is not, a mixture of weak and strong nations, 10 toes, iron and clay. Now that is an offshoot, or these are offshoots from the great worldwide Roman Empire. And Daniel said, your vision didn't end there. For Daniel said, you saw a little stone hewn out of the mountain, not made with hands. And you saw until that stone came rolling down the mountain and crushed the great image. It crushed the clay, the iron, the brass, the silver, and the gold. And that little stone kept on growing until it became like a mountain that filled all the earth. And here is the whole story, Daniel said. He is telling of the destruction of the last structure of Gentile power in this world. He says, in the days of those kings, the 10 toes of clay and iron, representative of our powers today, in the days of those kings, God will set up a kingdom. And that kingdom will be the kingdom of Messiah. We used to sing a song of the stone that rolled out of Babylon. Have you seen that stone that rolled down the mountain out of Babylon and crushed the great structure of Gentile powers? And then there shall be peace. For Christ is the stone of the Gentile powers' destruction. Now, Well, you know I haven't had time. But that, just let me add one footnote and I'm through. This stone can be your stone. This Jesus can be your Jesus. This Lord can be your Lord. This Master can be your Master. This Savior can be your Savior. Your Savior. Your Lord. Your Master. All you've got to do is trust Him. Only believe. And the work is done. Have you seen that stone? Let's stand for our prayer. Our Father, we truly thank Thee again and again for Thy blessings upon us. We thank Thee for the stone of salvation. We thank Thee for the sure foundation in Christ. We thank Thee, dear Lord, that Christ has become our salvation. Our hope, our Lord, our Master. Now, dear God, I pray, please speak to hearts here today. You know that man and that woman and that boy and that girl and that young person who needs Christ. Perhaps they're a member of some church or some religion or some order, but they've never really come to the stone, Christ. May they come today. For those who are seeking a closer walk with Thee, may they come about this altar prayer. For those, Heavenly Father, who are seeking church membership, may they step out today to unite with this church. These things we pray in Jesus' name.